How many of you believe in prophecies? How many of you have received prophecies? Well, praise God. That's what my wife and I, we want to talk to you about prophecy tonight. And, you know, she's ministered this, and Pastor Lane said some things about it. But how many of you know that it's like Kenneth Hagin said, each one of us, I mean, everyone in this room tonight, in this sanctuary tonight, can go up a mountain and look out over El Dorado. And I guarantee you, each one of us going to see something different. And it's so with the, as well as, you know, it is well with the same as it is with a ministry. You know, each one of us, God deals with us differently. And so we get different outlooks and we see things different. We see things that others doesn't see. And so prophecy is to tell the future. You know, it's to tell you what is to come. You know the fivefold ministry. You know, I always use my five fingers to remind me of the fivefold ministry. So you got what? The teacher, which is the small finger. It can get in your ear and get in your spirit, and it's broken up, you know, for you can receive it. And then you got the ring finger, which is the pastor. And the pastor, you know, the ring finger, he's going to love you. He's going to shepherd you. And he's going to nourish you. Hallelujah. And then you have the middle finger, which is the longest finger on your hand. And how many of you know what that is? That's the evangelist. Because he doesn't only minister in the church, but he go out the four walls and minister. And he has signs and wonders and things like that following him. Amen. And then you have the pointing finger. I'm sorry, was I supposed to dismiss the children tonight? I'm sorry. Y'all forgive me. Stretch your hands out toward those little kiddies. Father, we thank you for our youth, God. We just pray over them, the kids, God, that you're going to bless them tonight. They're going to have a fun time tonight. But you said, suffer not the little kids. Let them come unto you, God. So we bless them tonight in their service tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And this pointing finger is what thus says the Lord. He hears from God. He's a seer. They call them in the Old Testament seers. And they see things, you know. God allowed them to see things in the spiritual realm. And they say what thus says the Lord. Amen. And then also you got the thumb, which is the smallest finger. You know, it's the shortest finger. And that is the apostles. Hallelujah. You know, the apostle is the one that they go out and they get churches. You know, they start a church and they put pastors over them and different things like that. So the apostle is the one that gathers and, you know, it hold things together. You know, the apostle does, you know, he go out and start and establish church. You know, Apostle Paul, he had the church at Corinth. He had the church at Rome, you know. He would always minister to them. And then he would say, let me go, let me take Mark with me this time when I go to Corinthian, when I go to Rome. Wherever he went, you know, he wanted to take someone with him because he started those churches and he felt the job to continue to nourish them and their upkeep and put pastors and, you know, like-hearted ministry over them. So with that in mind tonight, how many of you know that Arkansas has been prophesied over? My wife and I, we went to a conference in Hope, Arkansas, and Dutch Sheet, which is a well-known teacher, pastor. I don't know if he's still pastoring or not, but he's a teacher, and he deals in the prophetic. You know, and so, but anyway, he and Chuck Pierce, which is a national known prophet, which is the one that, we go to, I think, Pastor Maurice, you've been to that, conference several times. I don't know how many times, but you've gone some time. And Chuck Pierce is international. He have an international ministry. He's connected to Israel. In fact, his son lived in Israel for some quiet time there. I think he got married in Israel and so forth. But anyway, you know, it's good to be connected to someone that's international. Hallelujah. Because if you sowing into their ministry, you're going to reap some of their benefits, you know, of what they are doing, getting people saved and prophesying to people. You know, Chuck Pierce, he be on television a lot, too, himself. And he's just a powerful prophet. And you can tell that he is a prophet because, you know, he can prophesy with a drop of a hat. I mean, he just flow in it. I mean, you know, he see prophecy. When other people see other things, he see prophecy. You know, he see things, God show him things that he just comes out of him. It's natural for him. Hallelujah. You know, and so, you know, my wife and I, we have seen, we have been prophesied over several times. You know, I don't know, Bill Norton, have you guys ever heard of Bill Norton? Well, Bill Norton has come here several times, and he prophesied over us, and he prophesied that he said one thing. He said that, you know, it'll come a time when you'll be sowing and reaping at the same time. You'll be reaping a harvest, and you'll be sowing into the kingdom at the same time. And, you know, that was years ago. And that prophecy is coming to pass as we speak now, you know, to you guys. You know, one of the signs that I can tell that is being fulfilled is my air conditioner went out. My air conditioner went out, and I don't know, we got home one evening and off from work, and it was blowing hot air. And, you know, I had bought a window unit, and so we threw that window unit in the window, and we just had one room there. We was able to go in and be cool. I'm talking about this have been August, but anyway, we began to contact guys to try to get it fixed and all, and everyone told me that this air conditioner, you just can't buy a compressor. You're gonna have to, you know, it'd be cheaper just go and do the whole unit out, the outside unit. And you guys know how much an outside unit costs. I don't know if you priced them lately, but they are pretty high. But God paid for that air conditioner two times. We got the first check in the mail was exactly what we came out of our pocket with. And then the next check that came in the mail was over and above the air conditioner, you know. And so, you know, do you believe in prophecy? Yes, I believe in prophecy. Just to give you an example, you know, my wife received a prophecy in Little Rock, I believe it was. Can't remember exactly where it was. But anyway, I was there, and they were saying that it's going to come a time that you guys are going to be traveling. I see you going near and far, traveling, flying. And at that time, I was young, kind of young in the ministry. I just hadn't been too long, moved back to Camden. And we were, you know, just trying to get ourselves together, so to speak. But anyway, I did not know that, you know, that prophecy was going to come to pass. Some prophecy, you know yourself, you hear them and you put them on the shelf. That prophecy, I put way up there on the shelf, so I couldn't even reach it myself. You know what I'm saying? I put that prophecy up on that shelf, and I said, well, I think the sister missed it that time. She was a prophetess. And I said, I think she missed that time. You know, you can say a lot of times, you say in yourself, man, that how can that be? But, you know, we look at ourselves, we look at what we can do and not at God. And, you know, and so you probably heard this several times, but that was a prophecy. And it took, I guess, a few years for that prophecy to come to pass. Some prophecy you have to war over. You got to pray over them. You got to war with those prophecy for them to come to pass. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I did not pray over that prophecy because I put it on what? The top shelf where I couldn't reach it, you know, because I knew at that time, looking in my pocket and looking at my wife's pocket, we were not going to be flying nowhere unless we catch a bird and tie a rope on him, or eagle or something, tie a rope on him and say, get up. But anyway, lo and behold, my son, he was in Dallas, and he got a job at Delta Airlines. And so the parents, they fly free, non-rep. And so, you know, I'm beginning now to, I don't care what it is, you know, I'm beginning to war with these prophecies. You know, whatever they say, man, I begin to perk up. You know, we flew till we got tired. My wife, woo, she is a flying girl. She flew so much one time, she said, I'm just going to stop in Dallas and just see how the kids doing. Then I'm going to fly somewhere else. And then she called my son. She said, she called him and said, Chris, I want to come see you tonight. And so come pick me up. I'm at the airport and I'm going to fly somewhere else when I get done here. He said, Mama, you done flying now because you done flew too much. You done used all your flying privilege. I said, oh, Lord, we were so happy, you know, just flying everywhere. One night, this is the truth, we got delayed. And they were saying, well, you're going to have to stay here for a while in the airport, you know. But as we were staying there, they came on the intercom and said that those guys that were staying there, we got, I think it was about, how many was it, four of us or five of us? Five of us. They sent, what was it, a 747. We were going to Florida. A 747 for five people. You know, when it's time to eat, they told y'all just, they didn't have any hostess on. They told y'all just eat what y'all want to eat. Now, this woman done prophesied this years ago, and we just living it up. That's flying, you know. So we ate like we wanted to eat, you know. We even had a little girl passing out the snacks and stuff. She going out, passing out the snacks and stuff. You know, I'm just telling you, look at God. When God does it, you know, he does it big. And we called our son and told him and said, son, you know, that they sent a 747 to pick us up and take us to Florida. He said, Mom, you're going to get me in trouble. I'm going to lose my job. Nobody sent a 747 to y'all, just five people. But God, hallelujah. I'm just trying to whet your appetite for prophecy. You know, people, when you receive a prophecy, it may be hard for you to believe. But when they say that you're going to get some money or something like that, now you begin to pray over that, don't you? If they say some money going to come, I see you having money coming in. Well, we'll get busy praying over those prophecies. Hallelujah, in a hurry. But praise God. But anyway, I'm just letting you know that the things that God has done for us through prophecy, you know, God has been good to come and to make those prophecy known to us. And there's prophecy been prophesied over Arkansas. Arkansas, it says, so go Arkansas, so go the nation. Arkansas should house the presence of God, because you can't say Arkansas without saying Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. And everywhere the Ark and the presence of God is, people were blessed. You see? And so how many of you know that Israel, is a little small nation, but what happens over there It's going, whatever's going to happen over there, or is happening over there, it's going to set the pace for the whole world, you know? And so, and, Chuck has prophesied over Arkansas, over Camden. And, he was saying when he came to Camden, he saw that angels in 10-mile radius, as he was getting into, entrance into Camden, 10 miles out, he saw angels all around that perimeter there in Camden. And then when he came and spoke, he said that, that Camden was going to receive a physical explosion, and then there's going to be a spiritual explosion. Now, the physical explosion have already happened. Now, the spiritual explosion, we're still praying over it. Hallelujah, and believing God. Amen. And so, you know, God, all prophecy is to build our expectation, to make us expect. You know what I'm saying? You cannot, you know, you can't put manifestation before expectation. Even when he told them to wait in the book of Acts, he told them to wait until the promise come. He was building their expectation. He told them not to leave or not to go anywhere. Hallelujah. And it was 500 that went. Amen. And it wasn't but 120 that stayed together. Hallelujah. They stayed there and waited. Hallelujah. And so when they stayed there and waited, they the one that reaped the benefits. They were there to see the cloven tongues of fire. They were there to see them talk in other tongues. You see, they were there. But the other ones, they didn't experience that. I'm not saying that they did not get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they didn't experience the day of Pentecost. Amen. And see, God had, Jesus prophesied that over them. He prophesied them. And so, and then another prophecy that he did is in Isaiah. He said, this, you know, he got up and read in the temple. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captive. To set at liberty those who being oppressed by the devil, recovering the sight to the blind. And he said, the priest, the accepted year of the Lord. And when he began to close the book, he was saying, roll the scroll up. He said, this scripture is being fulfilled today in your eyes. And he went about doing that. He didn't do it in his temple that day, but he went about doing it because they didn't believe it. What were they saying? If you read on further, what were they saying? They were saying, isn't that that carpenter? Isn't that Joseph's son? So they didn't believe in prophecy. And I'm sure there was somebody there right then that was blind. I'm sure somebody was there that was, you know, that was in captive, you know, in prison. You know what I'm saying? Tradition and all. Because they didn't believe the prophecy. Amen. But hallelujah, they didn't stop Jesus. Jesus went on, and I think it's in Matthew where he said that, he said that I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captive. Heal. You know, he went about healing all those that were sick. It said, Isaiah said, when the evening had come, they brought many unto him that were possessed with devils. And he cast the spirit out with his word, that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. He said, saying, he what? Heal our sickness and bear our infirmities. You see what I'm saying? He fulfilled that prophecy because they came to him and said that I have a son, throw himself down and he vomit and foam at the mouth. And Jesus said, the dad said, I took him to him, your disciples, and they couldn't do it. He said, if you can help me, please help me. And Jesus said, how long has he been like this? He said, from a child. And what did he do? He fulfilled that prophecy. He said, thy deaf and dumb spirit come out in Jesus' name. And the devil didn't want to come out. Them demons didn't want to come out. They start trying to kill him right then. So they had to come out. And see, that's the thing that we have, too. We have that same authority. We have the authority to say no in the name of Jesus. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have my church. But what we do, we look at the circumstances. We look at circumstances, and circumstances are just subject to change. They are temporal. But if you be tenacious and not want to give up and not want to quit, believe the word of God and trust the word of God, stand on the word of God and believe the word of God, hallelujah, it's going to be like a rock. You'll be standing on a solid rock. The Bible even tell us as believers, whosoever speak shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not in their hearts, but believe that the things that they say, what, will come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he say. So we activate our faith by speaking it. And when we speak it, it's gone out into the atmosphere. Hallelujah. To do what it's supposed to do. Amen. And so Arkansas has been called the Trail of Hope. The Trail of Hope began in Hope, Arkansas. God is restoring hope to the church and hope to the land. Hallelujah. We have to have hope, which is another form of expectation. If you're not expecting nothing, if you're not expecting anything, how are you going to receive manifestation? It's all through the Bible. Jesus began to build the expectation. He began to tell them, it's going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to be. Even right now, we're expecting his soon returning. He's built that expectation. And then it's going to be what? Manifestation. Hallelujah. The Bible said when the fullness of time came, he sent forth his son full of glory and majesty. The full of time came. Amen. So praise God. So we have to have hope in the third great awakening. And the third great awakening is going to, everyone is prophesying the third great awakening. The other awakenings was so powerful. So they're saying that, you know, it's going to be so powerful, this third great awakening. And see, you're going to have to pray it in. You're going to have hope. You're going to have to build your expectation for this third great awakening. What are we having hope for? What are we having patience for? We are waiting on a move of God. Moses said, I don't want to go. If your presence don't go with me, I'm not going. Hallelujah. And so this third great awakening, you know, I went to Walmart. My wife, she don't like for me to tell this, but Dutch Sheet, he said that the book of Acts is getting ready to come unfold and it's going to be displayed in this third great awakening as on steroids. Steroids. Anybody seen people on steroids? Well, I went to Walmart, and I went to Walmart, and you know, we love rotisserie chicken. And I went to Walmart, and I don't know where they getting them chickens at, but that chicken was laying up in there. I said, baby, I ain't buying that chicken. He looked like he's on steroids. You know what I'm saying? Well, he had big old arms and big legs. I said, I don't want that chicken. Hallelujah. But the third great awakening, you seen people, Peter passing by and people getting healed by his shadow. See, the church is going to be the church. So it's coming. Build your expectation. And Dutch Sheets said, during that trail of awakening, during that trail of hope, he gave 5 weeks. And Thelma going to come and give you those 5 weeks. But that's what we're waiting on. We're waiting on the third great awakening to come and manifest itself. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. He's always saying something. I don't know that he ought to be saying about the steroids. Praise the Lord. But how many of you know that church as usual is boring? I'm serious. You can just go to church, sit in the pew, not expect anything, go back home, and you can do the same thing over and over and not get anything. But we've got to be expecting God to move. We've got to be expecting to see something more than what we're seeing at this point right now. Amen? Amen. And so I remember when we were in Camden, when we were at Camden, hadn't been in Victory too long. I like to see things moving. I like to see God moving. And so, you know, I remember when I first came here, and my mother lived in Crossett, and my sister lived in Crossett. And so I went down there, and they had Christian television. And we didn't have Christian television in Camden. I'm like, what is up with this? You know, no Christian television. Oh, things got to change. And if you know, if you want things to change, if you want to see things happen, how many of you know you just got to speak the word? You got to pray it in. You got to pray it in. And you will see in the natural what you see in the spirit. But you got to see it first in the spirit. You have eyes in your spirit, man. You have spiritual ears. And so I came back to Camden. I was like, we're going to pray. And we're going to have Christian television in Camden. Now, I didn't have cable or satellite or anything myself at the time. But anyway, that I had a friend that worked at the courthouse. I may have told this story before, but anyway, I had a friend work at the courthouse. She said, well, do you want me to, you know, I know how to, I can get a petition. We can take it to the churches and da-da, you know, and so people started doing that. The church wanted Christian television. And so before we could take it to the cable station or wherever we're going to take it to, they put it on. They put Christian television on in Camden. But see, if you want to see things change, you and I are going to be the ones that are going to cause it to change. If you want to see things change, you and I are going to be the ones to see it change. And we're not going to talk about it, criticize it. We're going to just cause the change to come. Amen. So then I remember start praying about seeing revival in Camden. And so we taught on revival in the Old Testament, revival in the New Testament. And then, you know, it's like, oh, wow. In order for us to see the move of God, we've got to repent. How many of you know? We've got to be clean people. We've got to repent. And so, you know, we taught on that. And then I remember sitting on the second row at the church, and I told the Lord, I kind of got discouraged. And you know, I said, God, I don't see anything happening. And he said, you got to pray it in. Say, I got to pray it in. Say it again. I got to pray it in. You got to open your mouth and you've got to speak the word. Amen. And so when you do that in faith, believing, you will receive. You will receive. And so that's what we started doing. We started praying. And God, he put that expectation in me to see him move in Camden, wherever we go. We want to see God moving. How many of you want to see God moving? I mean, you want to see God moving enough that you will do what it takes to see it come to pass? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, we had that prayer garden where we had 24-hour prayer. I told you this before, but and so that Brother Jerry had some books out there about prayer, and one of them was warfare prayer. I was like, oh wow, it's powerful, warfare prayer. And so I read the book, and the man that wrote the book, his name is Peter Wagner. You've probably read some books by him. Anyway, so I got on the internet. He had a prayer network. It was called Global Harvest Ministries, and he had a prayer network. And so then the Lord told me to connect with them. How many of you hear the voice of God and you obey it, you're going to see the power of God move. And so then so I got on the internet, and then I connected with them through that and asked them to send me some material. So then the next thing, I started receiving a newsletter from Global Harvest Ministries. And in that was Peter Wagner. I knew him. His wife was vice president. And then Chuck Pierce was a vice president, too. I had never seen him before. So anyway, I looked on the back of it, and it started talking about the conferences on a Congress on warfare prayer and strategic intercession. I was like, wow, what is that? And the Holy Spirit told me that I was going to attend some of those conferences. So the very first time I went to one of those conferences, a girl from Camden, Barbara Eberson, went with me, and I bought a book by Chuck Pierce called Future War of the Church. And he autographed it, and he was autographing, signing those books. And I was standing up there, and then he looked up at me and saw Arkansas. And then he started saying, I never preached in Arkansas. He just started talking. I was too afraid to say anything. I just went on to my seat, and I was like, you know, the Holy Spirit was saying, I was like, God, I wish I had asked him, would he ever come to Arkansas to preach? And so then I said, okay, Lord. I said, if you put him in my path again, I will ask him, do you think he would ever come to Arkansas to preach? So you know what? It wasn't long after that. Then he came right toward me. And so then I finally got enough nerve to ask him. I said, do you think you would ever come to Arkansas to preach? So then he told me to send him the placard that I had on, and to write him a letter so he could remember who I was. And so lo and behold, guess what? He has come to Arkansas. But he's been to Arkansas many times. He came to El Dorado, and he said that El Dorado, see, he prophesied not just over Camden, over Arkansas, he said El Dorado, Magnolia, and this area, region, Camden, he said, that is the South Gate. The South Gate in Arkansas. How many of you know where that's where the Ark was sent to Obed-Edom's house? That was at the South Gate. That's where the Ark was. And so we're saying the Ark of God's presence is here in El Dorado. It's in Camden. It's in Magnolia. It's in the area of the South Gate. And where the South Gate is, how many know that's where the blessing of God is? The blessings of God is at the South Gate. And we are here in the South Gate. Praise the Lord. And so then God, I don't know, God just, you know, when you hear God's voice and he tells you to do something, you obey, it's just going to be a powerful, powerful blessing. And so then God gave Don and me favor with Brother Chuck Pierce. And so anyway, so he said the Lord told him, he got so connected with Arkansas, he said the Lord told him to encircle Arkansas. So he first came to the South Gate, came to El Dorado. And he spoke. And then he went to the West Gate. The West Gate was in Fort Smith. And then he went to the North Gate. The North Gate was in Eureka Springs. And so then that's when he told us that he knew he was going to come to Camden. And then he went to Memphis, and he went to the East Gate. Then he was able to go to Little Rock. Little Rock, you know, it's the capital. And it was something, a stronghold in Little Rock that didn't want the presence of God to be brought there. But God opened the door. God opened the windows of heaven. And in January of this year, Chuck Pierce and Dud Sheets went to outside of Little Rock, what is in the Little Rock area. And this, they didn't even know why they were there. They were asked to come. They didn't know why they were going to be there. But you know what? That's when they got together, the Spirit of God showed them that God wanted to rededicate Arkansas to him. Let's give the Lord a hand. Arkansas has been rededicated to God. And one of the reasons is at the Capitol in Little Rock, they're flying a flag that says, we appeal to heaven. So what Arkansas is saying that we need you, God. We need you over our state. We need you in our state. Isn't that awesome? So it's something to be thankful for. And to be, and God spoke through them and said that if that flag flew for a year, and it did in July the 4th, it had flown for a year. He said the gates of heaven were going to open over Arkansas. Hallelujah. And so just expect to see a move of God in Arkansas. And so that's what God is doing. He's restoring hope to the church. He's restoring hope to us. You know, he said, well, Arkansas, that's a backwards country. But I'm telling you, how many of you know, the last is going to be first. Amen? The last is going to be first. And so, we're not bragging about us. We're bragging about Jesus. We're bragging about God and what he's going to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so they started that. And so they were just excited about Arkansas and some things, some declarations that he said. He said there will be a divine reversal of curses that Satan has gotten people to speak over Arkansas. I mean, you know, it was saying speaking curses over Arkansas. Well, if they're not number 50, they're number 49. But God is going to cause those curses to be reversed. Yes. Because as the saying goes, I mean, all the prophets, they say this now, as go Arkansas, so goes the nation. So if God is moving in Arkansas, how many know God's going to move in the nation? He's going to move in the nation. And so there is a south wind blowing into your presence. And so Dud Sheets had he actually had an open vision, and the Lord spoke to him these words, wait, wait. Wait, wait, wait. And so the first wait he said to him was wait patiently. And that's Psalms 37, 7 through 10, verses 7 through 10. I'm just going to read really just one. I just have time to read one verse. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. See, we're not going to get upset when we see wicked people prosper. Amen. We're not going to say, well, Lord, look like they just have all the money. Like they don't have problems. No, we're not going to look at them. We're not. He said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. How many of you going to wait on the Lord? We're going to wait on God. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. See, they have just a short time here in this earth, just a short time. So we're not going to fret about them. And it said, indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. So we're going to wait on the Lord. God is going to move according to his word. He's going to move according to what you believe that he can do. I believe he can do all things. Amen. I believe that he wants to get our hopes up. He wants us to expect mighty things from him. Amen. And he wants us. It's contagious. It's contagious. You know, help somebody else get their hopes stirred up. We're going to hope in God. That's right. We're not going to be looking at the news and saying, oh, woe is me. I really haven't even been looking at the news because I don't want to hear all that doubt, fear, and unbelief. I just want to hear what the word of God is saying, because how many of you know that is the real truth? That's the real truth. And that is what we're going to believe. Amen. So whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. And so that's what we choose to believe. So let's everybody stand up, and we're just going to thank God for getting our hopes up, for causing us to expect him to do great things in Arkansas. that he's going to do great things in Camden. Amen. And he's going to use you. He's going to use me. He's going to use anyone who will be obedient to him. God is going to change some things. It's just like Israel was birthed in one day. And so we can expect it could happen tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow. I want to live each day hoping in God. And so my hope is in him. My expectation is from him. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us hope. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for showing us, Lord, the good things that you're going to do. Lord, our eyes are not on the negative. Our eyes are not on the fearful things that Satan wants us to hear. Lord, we're going to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we have spiritual ears to hear your voice. But Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of the word only. We're going to be doers of your word. Lord, we do not want to be deceived. We're going to hear and obey. And Lord, we thank you for giving us spiritual eyes. Lord, we see what you have done in the past. We see what you're doing today. But we're also going to see what you're going to do tomorrow. According to your word, God, you are a good God. I want you guys to say this. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let's say it one more time. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Now let's give him a shout of joy. Thank you, Lord. You are so good to us. We love you, Father.